It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 143. I am your host, Adam Mangum. I'm joined first by Greg Rebell of KSL. We talk about Matt Carlino's decision to transfer, and also what are the key takeaways that Greg had from BYU's spring football. Matt and I then talk about a lot of stuff, mainly questions out of the tweet bag. We do talk about Kyle Van Noy and him climbing up draft boards. We talk about Marvel movies. We talk about what we like to grill. And we also play our PTI ripoff game of Odds Makers. This is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Always catch us and other great stuff at loyalcougars.com. You can download us on iTunes, and you can listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the podcast, voice of the Cougars on KSL, Greg Rebell. Welcome back to the podcast.
Adam, my pleasure. How you been?
Oh, excellent, excellent. You know, it's gotten past 45 degrees here in Minnesota, so we're in shorts, t-shirts, you know, outside playing. So it's a glorious time of year.
Well, here in Utah, it could be 45 one day and 75 the next, and then 35 the next day. So it's springtime in the Beehive State.
Yeah, I've gotten one time I got stuck in a blizzard in Wyoming driving home to Massachusetts on I-80. That part of the country, you never know what you'll get in spring. But you know, one thing we do know that we got in spring was some football, Greg, and wanted to get. Practice has been closed for a bit, but we haven't talked to you since before spring ball. Wanted to get your take on what did we learn, if anything, in spring ball. I know there were some injured players, there were some transferred players who weren't here yet, so there's certainly still a lot of questions we won't have answered till fall practice starts. But what are the two or three things that stuck out for you from spring practice?
One of the first things that stuck out is that in previous years, that spring game had to get watered down, not so much just by tactical choice, but because there were so few offensive linemen or healthy offensive linemen to go around. And this year, they were much more healthy, and we got to see much more of what might, most closely approximate the group that will play in the fall. There were some exceptions. Braden Kearsley didn't play a lot. Riker Matthews in the same situation. But for the most part, the group that will comprise the rotation in the fall was present and accounted for and getting better in spring, and that hasn't always been the case. That was one. The development of Nick Kurtz over a simple month was another. The fact that Taysom Hill got an entire spring of work in, and they kept him in for every play of the spring scrimmage. Now, he was in a no-contact mode, but he played every series he was supposed to and went the entire hour and a half. That was nice to see. At the very end of things, the secondary is going to be deeper, even without Jordan Johnson playing in spring. And Zach Stout, the return of Zach Stout was another storyline that stood out to me, I thought, in the spring. Question marks or red flags, special teams. The kicking game didn't necessarily impress in springtime, and maybe Bronco will let that kicking battle go into fall camp too as Corey Edwards joins the program. I think he'll bring in long snapper candidates. And so I don't know if we saw exactly what it's going to look like in the summer, and special teams can't get overlooked. It's just such a big part of the game, especially relative to the kicking, part of the equation. Justin Sorensen had his best year as a Cougar this past year, but BYU is looking for, the consistency that Justin was only really able to bring in his senior season the way he would have liked to for his entire BYU career.
Yeah, he definitely dealt with some injuries and had some inconsistencies, especially the year before in his junior season. You mentioned Nick Kurtz. The wide receiver position to me is maybe the most fascinating going into fall camp of any of the positions, mainly because you lose your all-time leading receiver in Cody Hoffman. You have a couple of returning seniors who are injured who didn't participate in spring drills, but yet it feels like, at least from fans and some in the media, that people are pointing this as an area of depth and strength for the Cougars because of some transfers and also potentially if Matthews and Oppo are healthy. Do you see it that way? Is it a position of strength with Kurtz and the others that will be joining or getting healthy in the program? Or do you think there's still a lot of question marks as Hill hasn't got a chance to throw to some of these guys, and for some of them, at least not in a while.
I think the wide receiver group was good because Cody was in the group. But beyond him, there wasn't much there once Mitch Matthews got hurt last year. This year's group will be deeper, and I'd like to say they're going to be better right now just for that simple reason. Even though they lose Cody Hoffman, I think it can be a better group because it'll be a more varied group and have more options present for Taysom Hill and more of different kinds of players and different kinds of receivers. Cody Hoffman was never a burner, and they've got a few more guys that can get deep down the field and give Bronco the vertical aspect he wants beyond simply the horizontal. But the horizontal is important too in terms of the ability to get to the edge with the ball in skilled playmakers' hands. Cody Hoffman was tremendous, but he started the season slow last year, had the hamstring injury right before the season began, suspended for a game. So it wasn't the wide receiver group's best year. I think even though a lot of these guys are unknown today relative to time they've had on the field with Taysom Hill and BYU, they can be and should be very, very good. Jordan Leslie's a seasoned FBS player. Devon Blackman has had experience both at the FBS and the JUCO level. Nick Kurtz was maybe the guy they were happiest to get in the offseason. Assuming Mitch Matthews comes back and can stay healthy for an entire season, Ross Opple's still in the mix. They'll be good enough to make people worry about much more besides Taysom Hill's legs. That was the thing I thought about last year, Adam, is that even though Taysom was tremendous at getting the yards he did, that was still with really only a single worrisome target outside in Cody Hoffman. Now there are so many more of those kinds of guys, and it should make life easier for Taysom to get around.
Yeah, they flashed the potential of that wide receiver coming in motion option play too, which they didn't run last year, didn't have probably the personnel to make it a legitimate threat, but that may change this season. One of the other positions that always is a concern, it seems, for Cougar fan is the defensive backfield. We've had very good ones, but a lot of years it's been a weakness. I'd say over the past few years it's been pretty solid, maybe not necessarily the strength of the defense, but not necessarily a liability either. Coming into this season, you mentioned the depth there as well, Greg. Assuming health, which of course is always a dangerous thing to assume in football, but assuming health, is this the type of group that could be a strength of the defense? Could we be sitting here a year from now saying, you know, they may have been the best unit on the defensive side of the ball?
I think they have the potential to be Broncos' best secondary, and the addition of Harvey Jackson late from Nebraska just adds to that depth. You can lose Daniel Sorensen and not feel too terrible about the situation because of the depth that suddenly developed around these guys. Rob Daniel is versatile, can play at the corner or the safety position. Sky Povey similarly, but he's somebody you don't have to lean on to the extent they had to in seasons past. Coach Nick Howell told me in the spring that there were probably just eight guys off the top of his head that he would trust with those four spots right now. Now you add Harvey Jackson to be a ninth. And so you've got nine guys right now, and that's not even including a couple of guys who will come in the summer and hope to at least impress the coach. So eight or nine guys for four spots right now that he feels really good about. And that would, of course, include Jordan Johnson back from injury. Not even sure that would, in fact, it would not include right now Sam Lee. Sam Lee may never get on the field. I don't know if that's going to work out for him. That back injury has been troublesome, and he's not a guy I'm counting on. If they get him back, that's a bonus. But those eight or nine guys don't include him. And so Nick Howell is set up with, I think, his deepest group right now. And you never stay totally healthy. By the end of the year, you've missed games for one reason or another, or there's a season-ending injury for someone at some point. Those are the travails of the game. But right now, I would say Nick Howell is probably among the most confident position coaches on the team right now. We talked about wide receivers a moment ago. We didn't even mention Michael Davis, who found time in Nick Howell's secondary last year after he switched over from wide out. And he's another guy that gives depth on that other side of the ball, which is interesting. But I think there are certain positions he's right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be very interesting on that side. You mentioned Harvey Jackson. One of the things that's kind of defining this offseason is a number of transfers. I don't remember, and Greg, you've got a great memory for this sort of thing, but I don't remember a year quite like this one where they've been not just transfers, which, you know, you get the occasional JC or other school transfer. That's pretty common. But this many of them, and several of them, in a couple of them in this that fifth year, I'm graduated, now I can transfer to another school with a different program rule, those type of things. Is this a standout for you as far as years of transfers, as far as the number and maybe even the quality? Or is this just happens every 6 or 7 years, you just happen to get 4 or 5 or 6 of them together?
Well, I think we've kind of gotten used to the secondary, corners in particular, having their group being built up and buttressed by JUCO transfers. That's been pretty traditional. Occasional running backs will come in that way. But the number of guys who can come in with a resume, with previous experience at high levels, that's the big difference right now. You know, Jordan Leslie and Keanu Nelson, Harvey Jackson, these are guys taking advantage of a loophole that's probably going to get closed pretty soon. The NCAA this last week talked about adjusting that rule to no longer make it so that most of these fifth-year guys can play right away. They'll have to sit for a season. So BYU's got 3 of these guys who may be a dying breed because of the rule they're about to change. But I can't say that Keanu Nelson's going to help BYU a great deal yet because he didn't get on the field at Stanford. But until we see him in the summer and see him play, I can't judge what he will or will not do. Harvey Jackson, you can judge. He was a starter, you know, for a Big Ten football program. And Jordan Leslie was somebody who, you know, with a ton of career yards at UTEP. So maybe it's the number of prepared guys they're bringing in that probably stands out this year more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's shift gears here a little bit and talk basketball. Since you and I chatted on the podcast last, Matt Carlino transferred. There's, you know, obviously that's old news, so we'll stick to the analysis more than the news. But what does that mean for the program? And are you? I think most of us were a little shocked, even though afterwards maybe it made sense in retrospect. What does this mean for the program? And were you surprised that Carlino left?
Well, backing up on it, I was first surprised because I wasn't aware Matt was going to be an early graduate. I wasn't considering Matt to be an early graduate, even though he did have that redshirt year. That wasn't top of mind for me, and so I wasn't seeing him as a graduate with another year of eligibility. Once I found out he was going to be leaving in the summer, it made that possibility a little more feasible, of course. But I still wasn't leaning on that to be his decision. I think it's kind of you know, follows in maybe a pattern that, you know, he will explore the situation, and if it's not, you know, entirely to his liking, he'll try and change that situation. And that's every student athlete's right. The NCAA curtails it to an extent, but again, there is that loophole to allow you to make that decision and seek a better opportunity if there's still playing time left for you. And he took advantage of that. I was disappointed only because I thought he would see it through. I'm not disappointed because I think BYU's lost without him. I'm not disappointed because I think he leaves a gaping hole. I'm only disappointed because I thought he would have gotten to a point where he would see it through and realize the benefits of continuing to play a significant role on this team. He liked his teammates. He liked BYU. I think he liked a lot of what his experience had brought to him. He didn't like the way that he got used this last season, and that was ultimately what caused his decision. You know, he believed something the coaches didn't believe, and he's going to go somewhere to find a staff that believes more of what he believes right now. But, you know, Matt Carlino leaves BYU as someone who had potential, that showed flashes, that had, you know, great games and moments of promise, but the consistency that he lacked, you know, ultimately caused the situation that brought him to the bench this past season. BYU's best 2 months of the year and Matt's best 2 months of the year were January and February. when he went to the bench and came on in a reserve role and quite frankly excelled. And because the team played so well and he played well in those months, I thought that the light might have gone on for him. And that even though he would be the sixth man, or ostensibly the sixth man for his senior season, he could still see the minutes and the points and the potential to contribute. But from year one to year two to year three, what you never really saw, Adam, was a defining leap in his approach or his ability.
Yeah.
If you look back at it, in all three of his seasons, he was either second or third in usage, that is percentage of possessions used. He was second or third on the team in usage, and second or third in percentage of shots taken when he was on the floor, but never better than seventh in offensive efficiency. And that never changed. He never got above seventh, and he never dropped below third. So he was always a high usage, high shot guy, but without the efficiency numbers to back up those percentages. And that never really changed. And as I noted in a tweet or a Cougar Tracks when he left, he leaves BYU as a sub 40% shooter. And while he's certainly a prized transfer in this offseason, you are getting a sub 40% shooter from a guy that takes a ton of shots. And ultimately, shot selection, proved to be somewhat his undoing and would put him on the bench in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with almost everything you said. It's too bad he left, and wish him good luck wherever he ends up. But
yeah, I wished he would have stayed. Yeah. But that said, these last 3 years were, the three lowest years of Dave Rose's tenure relative to, Pomeroy ratings and offensive efficiency and effective field goal percentage, and everyone played a role in that. But these were three difficult years for the BYU offense. That's just a fact, Adam. It's not all on Matt.
Right.
But there were some elements of his game that contributed to those numbers and percentages, and not in a good way. He had great games. I mean, he had great moments. He had stretches of play where you say, wow, without him, we are doomed on this night. But you never saw the kind of thing you see from, say, Tyler Hawes or Jimmer before him, where you can count on that guy giving you a week, a month, a season of consistent efforts. You know what you're going to get night to night to night. And that wasn't ever Matt's MO. He would invariably follow a big night with a really small night. And you just never quite knew what you were going to get. When you got good Matt, man, he was good. I mean, when you got Matt Carlino feeling it, it was something to watch. And Mark Durant and I saw it enough times to kind of give each other that look like, oh boy, here it comes. You could kind of see what was starting to build when Matt started hitting shots and got that look in his eye. And he just wasn't engaged in that way enough, for BYU over his three seasons. He leaves with a lot of untapped potential. Maybe his next team gets it out of him. But it just wasn't there enough nights in a row to make it feel like he had this thing figured out yet. And his shooting numbers kind of bore that out.
Yeah, yeah. He was a exciting and electric player to watch when he was on, and very frustrating sometimes to watch when the shots weren't falling. Maybe the most important question I'm going to ask you tonight, Greg, how many people do you think will get on your Cougar Tracks the 10, name those 10 Cougars correctly 100%?
I think quite a few.
I missed one. I am ashamed to
really
say
I
missed one.
It's a new little tool they've given us at KSL to mess around with, and so I figured I'd take my first shot at this and throw one out there. And I wanted to make it simple enough to make sure that people would come back for more. And so I made it questions that I thought, the diehard fan would kind of get out right off the top of their head pretty quickly. A lot of these are very familiar names and situations and whatnot, but I think a lot will get 100%. And I'll remind people tomorrow in the morning that it's out there. They can have a run at it and try. It's a fun little tool. And I think they'll get harder as I go. I'll get a little more creative. But for my first try, I just want to make sure that we got some people out there feeling that they knew exactly what they were doing out there.
Yeah, I won't say what the answer is, but there's a
Which
question.
Which one did you miss?
the question about the first 4,000-yard passer.
Ah, yes.
And I mentioned a quarterback that may or may not have played at the same time as the quarterback that was the correct answer. So I had my error right. I just picked the wrong guy.
Yeah, and I thought about putting Gifford Nielsen in there too on the early end and taking Bosco off the back end, but I went the other way around. But
you had good. The choices were good. Some of them are quite obvious, just because the more recent ones, you know, are just stuck in your mind
right.
A little bit better. But some of them, for example, I caught the game-winning TD to defeat Oklahoma in 2009. I had to think about that when it came to me, but I thought about, you know, who was on that team and all those things. So it took me a minute, but I didn't cheat, but I missed one. So that was,
yeah. And I guess people would have the ability to, but if you're on the computer and you have your cell phone, I guess you could Google something on your phone at the same time, but in the spirit of fun and fair play, I hope people just kind of click through it and just kind of, do it as they go and don't do a lot of research on it, but it's a fun little thing. And we'll kind of keep those going now. And again, I think in the off season and maybe help the offseason go a little quicker.
Yeah, it couldn't go much slower than it is going right now, Greg. I have to admit, this is the sad time of year for college football.
Today does start the 100-day countdown to camp. So, tomorrow will be only 99 days until camp, and so we're in double digits as of tomorrow. So
I can probably handle it. So we'll definitely recommend folks go check out that name that Cougar quiz on the Cougar Tracks on KSL.com.
Yeah, it's out there tonight, and I think I'll put a reminder out there tomorrow that it's still there. They can have a run at it and just have some fun with it and see if they can top your 9 out of 10.
That's right. All right, well, thank you, Greg. We appreciate you, as always, coming on the podcast, and we'll definitely have you on again at least once, who knows, maybe twice before the season starts.
Oh yeah, let's talk right before camp, if not before then. And it's always fun, Adam. Enjoy coming on, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Matt Mangum.
Yes, sir.
It's podcast time.
It is. Let's cast some pods.
You know, I hate this time of year.
What part about it?
Well, people say it's spring, right? Spring is wonderful. Right,
and that's true. You live in Minnesota.
No, spring's beautiful here too. It's a little later, a little colder, but it's nice.
Okay.
The problem is this: the baseball games, and I'm a huge baseball fan. Everyone's overreacting to 1 month of games.
Yes,
and that annoys the heck out of me.
It's awesome.
So and so, such team is the surprise team, and they won't make the playoffs. So and so is terrible.
We've got to fire the manager.
Fire the manager. Fire the player. Oh, my gosh. They let Jacoby Ellsbury go, and he's playing well. It's a 7-year contract, people. This is not even year one yet. So that gets me annoyed. NBA playoffs are on, clogging up all of the sports news waves. Don't care.
They still do that?
Celtics aren't in it. I'm just,
They still have the NBA playoffs?
They do. And I know we're going to get flack from some of our listeners who love the NBA, yada, yada, yada. I don't anymore. I can't. I do like the hockey playoffs. I have watched some of the NHL playoffs. So
hockey playoffs is good.
That's a good part. There have been some overtime games and some things. So there's been some things to enjoy.
NFL schedule came out today.
Don't care. NFL really? Schedule's kind of boring.
Oh. It just gets me excited about football.
Yeah, that's true. And thank you, Roger Goodell. You've ruined one of my favorite things about the spring. You've taken the draft and totally butchered it. It's now in the evenings instead of being on a Saturday, so I could just sit down, my butt on my couch for like 8 hours, watching Mel Kiper's hair.
And just watching a ticker count down over and over and over again.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And now I can't spend two nights and part of a day on the draft. That would cause marital discord.
No, yes it would.
And not to mention it just kind of ruins the momentum of the event.
And you know what else they need to change about the draft, I've decided?
Roger Goodell not being involved?
No, there's a lot of things Roger Goodell shouldn't be involved in.
True.
But the combine, right? And now we've talked about this, I believe, before. The combine is a tool used by teams to measure the potential of college football players.
Yes.
By the means of metrics that have nothing to do with playing football.
Absolutely.
That should be replaced. I saw a special the other night on ESPN. They did a sports science where they do their own combine testing. That stuff was absurd. The whole combine should be erased and replaced by their setup, which is different by position and has, you know, they're measuring, you know, how hard a guy hits after moving these medicine bags and all this. I mean, it's real stuff. The combine, how it has always been. I mean, it's interesting, but I just think it's so much weight goes to it, and it isn't helpful.
I don't even find the combine interesting most of the times. I don't think smart NFL teams pay much attention to it at all. Look, he can throw the football while no one's there. You know,
right.
Look, that guy seems a little slow. I know on tape he looks great, but he seems really slow.
Yeah, and I know he's a, you know, I only need him to run 5 or 10 yards at a time, depending on his position. But he had the slowest 40 time of all the offensive linemen. Listen, if your offensive lineman has to run 40 yards on a consistent basis, like, you're doing something wrong.
Or maybe you're doing something right.
Maybe. You know,
maybe he's pulling, and you've got massive holes, and he's throwing a block 25 yards down the field.
Okay.
A touchdown, huh? Huh?
All right.
Okay, so Matt, let's hop into this podcast and stop talking about ridiculous stuff.
Okay.
And talk about other ridiculous stuff.
Excellent. We will just change from one ridiculous topic to another.
Correctamundo, amigo. So, we're on the draft, so let's stick with the draft. Kyle Van Noy is climbing the charts, particularly Mel Kiper's charts. And that sounded kind of weird, but it was weird, Adam. That's why it sounded so. So he is, I think, 24th now on the big board, as Mel calls it. And I use his first name because we're on a first name basis.
I just call him Hare.
Yes, and fair. That's a good name for him. So he's climbing up the charts here. Matt, how high do you think he could go?
I don't know. I mean, I maybe top 15. And when you ask me that question, do you mean how high do you think I could go? He could go if we're just ranking players, or how high do I think he could go as far as picks in the draft?
Picks in the draft, because I mean, in reality, you know, the rankings that Mel Kiper or anyone else puts out, even if they are quote unquote correct, doesn't really matter, right? What really matters is, I'm Chicago sitting at 14. I want a defensive player, you know, and even though everyone says they draft the best player available, we all know that a lot of teams don't, right? They have a need. They're worried about, by the time they get their second round pick, there won't be a good defensive player. We really need a defensive player, and so we pick them. And I just picked Chicago at 14. I'm not trying to say they're going to draft Kyle Van Noy. But, you know, last time we had the podcast, we were talking about Detroit picking him with their second round pick. He's not going to be there. That's my prediction.
He will not be available.
I think as when we had Tom Melton on to preview the draft a little bit, the scout guy, he said, one of the things he said is that Van Noy impresses on tape a lot more than he impresses in a workout. Right? He's kind of the opposite of Ezekiel Ansah in that Ansah's tape was good, but was very rough. But man, was he a workout freak, right? But Van Noy, there's a lot of tape on the guy. If you, after 4 years, can't look at his tape and determine if you think he's going to be an NFL player and you need to look at a stopwatch, then you probably should go do something else for a living.
Yeah. Well, and the difference here also with Ziggy was, you know, he was a raw talent, and in many, you know, and still kind of is, right? And so some of these other metrics were maybe a little bit more useful in his situation, because you're trying to figure out, okay, now does he have, you know, does he have the physical chops to really cut it at this level? So let's test him in some things that we can standardize across the board and kind of see where he stacks up. And so you take a guy with kind of that rough history, maybe not as much good film as someone like Kyle Van Noy, and you see just the freakish performance he puts on in these standard tests, that can be helpful.
Just yes.
The problem is, for the vast majority of the meaningful picks, it's just not the case. So that information isn't as useful. But in Ziggy's case, it was. But Van Noy, it's just not. You know, I mean, the game film is way more valuable on Van Noy than anything he did at the combine.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's going to be interesting. One of the things that Kiper pointed out is Vannoy's versatility, which we've pointed out before on this podcast. And I think when you don't, 25th on the big board, I'm sorry, not 24. But when you look at him, you see somebody and you go, oh, size and speed, maybe not over the top on either of those metrics. But then you see how BYU used him and you say, wow, he played defensive back. He played on the pass rush. He supported on the run. You know, he did all sorts of different things. And we talked about last time, we think, you know, the Patriots could be a team at 29 that maybe goes after him. I definitely think that that there is not going to be a he's not going to make it much into the early second round. I think people are starting to feel that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, I think we are aligned there. I am predicting now. I will predict. Are you ready for my prediction?
Watch out. Here comes a prediction.
I am about to predict where he's
going. Get out the pens and pencils.
Get out the pens and pencils. It'll change by the next time we have one of these. Number 21 to the Packers.
Ooh.
They need another pass rusher. Because of their current personnel, they could give him some time to mature. And but I think he would be a good fit there. I don't think he gets past the Patriots and 49ers at 29 and 30. I think those are smart football teams that would know how to use somebody like him. And plus, I hear that that one of the 49ers pass rushers might be in a bit of a tight spot right now.
Yeah.
So we won't go there, but they may also have a need. They may also have a need. So Kyle Van Noy, man, I'm telling you right now, if he gets drafted by the Patriots, as we said, our minds will be blown.
Oh, that, so many jerseys.
So many jerseys. So, Matt, let's get to the tweet bag. We have a lot of tweet bag questions. Tweet bag. Okay. I'm going to get to the one that I don't understand and don't care about first. All right. It's from our brother, Don. How good are Torchy's tacos? And before you answer that, Matt.
He did not.
Yes. I think he's trying to bait you into saying a certain phrase that is the trademark of Torchy's Tacos. So I will ask you again, and I'm not baiting you. You can answer this question of your own free will. But good?
Hold on. What are the rules? What are the rules here?
What do you mean, what are the rules? You know the rules. Pretend that this podcast is like sacrament meeting. That's the rule. Because we treat it with that. Oh my gosh, I'm going into bad territory here. Yeah, pretend like it's sacrament meeting, Matt. Treat it with the same respect. So, Matt, I ask you once again, how good are Torchy's tacos?
They're very good. I can't.
You're such a wimp.
Torchy's tacos, you want to know how good they are, Adam? Yes. You want to know how good they are?
How good are they, Matt?
They're damn good.
There you go. There you go, buddy. I'm not even going to edit that out.
They're pretty good. I'm actually
going to take an F word and drop it in there just to, and you'll be listening back. Whoa, I didn't say that. What just happened here?
So we went and had these Torchy's tacos Friday night, and I've been craving them all week.
I don't know anything about Torchy's tacos. Is this a Houston thing?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's apparently a couple locations, but we went to one Friday night. My wife and I went out with Don and his wife, and they were excellent. I've been dying for them all week. My wife was kind of in that area of town today, and I tried to get her to go by and pick me up some tacos and bring them to work, or just bring them home and put them in the fridge, and I'd heat them up later. They're that good.
They're that good, huh?
So it didn't work out, though. I didn't get the tacos.
Well, that seems like maybe a misstep on your part.
Well, I'll figure it out.
See, the reason I don't care about it is I don't live there. I can't eat these terrific tacos.
They are pretty gosh darn terrific.
Yes, so I've heard. Yeah. So I have heard. So Matt, also in the tweet bag. Tweet bag. That's what you're supposed
tweet
to say.
Tweet bag.
There you go. Andre Hutchins says, I'm back. I didn't know he was gone, but welcome back.
We're glad to see you. I was getting concerned.
When was the last time BYU football had this much talk and hype for transfers coming into the program, Matt?
I cannot think of a time.
Never.
This feels unprecedented to me.
It is unprecedented. I say unprecedented.
So what's at the root of this?
What is at the root of all these transfers? I think it's a lot of luck, personally. I think it's just a bunch of stuff happened at once, and we had open scholarships.
Do you feel like there's anything here to you send Ziggy, you know, high draft pick, big profile performance, and then you got Kyle Van Noy out there, you know, and he's going to do real well, and players are looking at it as, you know, perhaps this is an opportunity with the independence and the tougher schedule and the ESPN contract.
So
there's an opportunity for me to make a name for myself if I can head out to Provo?
Go one by one, okay? If you're the kid from UTEP, right? You're a wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to play at UTEP anymore?
No, you're done.
Okay. So you're looking out at programs. You look at a program. You're not going to hop to one of the elite programs. He was good at UTEP, but probably not that good. You also have to pick a program. The NCAA rule is ridiculous. You can transfer, but only to a school that has a graduate program that does not exist at the school you're at. Come on. I think they should, if they graduate, I think they should be able to transfer without any consequences.
I think they should be able to transfer, period, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, I lean more in your direction, too. I think it's kind of ridiculous, everything that's put on them, but a coach can ditch a program anytime they want.
Right. Well, we've got to protect the sanctity of amateurism.
Yes. Oh,
like
yes.
The Olympics.
Yes.
No, wait a minute.
Like the Olympics. So I think like with Leslie, that's one thing. I think.
Well, it's the coach he played for, right? It's probably the guy that got him to UTEP in the
correct,
first place.
Correct. So if you go down the list, there's some reason where it makes sense for each of them. I don't think for any of them is it, oh wow, you know, that one thing that's bringing all of them in. Right? Does that make sense? So
yeah, but do you feel like the program has received a little bit more attention lately that might get it onto people's radars?
Oh, sure.
Or am I just grasping at straws
I think you're grasping at straws. I mean, I think most college football players and fans already knew BYU. I don't think we haven't done anything besides independence in the last few years where you'd say, wow, that's the program. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, but you listen to, like, Brian Logan's story. When he first came to visit BYU, he knew almost nothing about it.
Oh, yes, he didn't know much. He said so on this very podcast.
You know, and then when he saw, I think it was Steve Young's picture on the wall, and his mom's like, Steve Young went to school here? You've got to come here.
Yeah.
That was his story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there is some of that out there, you know, but maybe you're right. Maybe we all just, we want to attribute this to ESPN, we want to attribute this to independence. Maybe there isn't really not much there.
Yeah, I don't think there's much there. But c'est la vie, I don't know.
But I'll take them.
I'm pretty sure I misused that phrase.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oui, oui, les poissons. Hee, 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 ha, ha, ha.
Right. Oh, boy. We are now quoting Disney films.
I have $3.
Pretty soon you'll be singing Let It Go.
Let it go.
We'll get all embroiled in that controversy.
Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go.
When you sing it, it makes it sound like it was from the soundtrack to Karate Kid.
I don't know why. I sing anything, it sounds like the soundtrack from Karate Kid.
Yeah!
That's why they made me ward choir director, so I won't sing anymore.
Oh, I thought it was because they wanted Sacrament Meeting to sound like Karate Kid.
I tried to get them to what's the song from Karate Kid?
Cruel Summer. Cruel Summer.
Not Cruel Summer.
The song.
No. The song is the song from the fight montage.
Oh, anybody cares about that song? The only song anybody cares about from Karate Kid is Cruel Summer.
That's insane. That's insane. What are you talking about? You're the best around.
Oh, that is pretty good.
Keep you down. You're the best around. Yeah, come on.
True to form, it sounds like Karate Kid when you sing it.
Of course it does. But anyway, I don't even know what we're talking about. transfers. Anyway, transfers good. All right. Matt, I have to repent. Okay.
Wow, we are getting all sorts of weird tonight. Go ahead.
So, Eduardo Estefan, who tweeted at us last time, so this is a couple weeks old, but we basically butchered his tweet back question.
Oh, really?
And then he tweeted and said, yes, my name is actually Eduardo, and English is my second language.
Oh, boy.
I hung my head in shame.
Wow.
So anyway, he asked us last time, guys on Cougar Board are talking about 12-0 to have a shot at being ranked in the top four and make the first playoff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, odds makers. We're going to start odds makers, which we are blatantly stealing from PTI. Okay.
Excellent.
Percent chance if BYU were to go to 12-0. Okay. So that make that a given.
Okay.
Which we shouldn't. That's insane. But we're doing it anyway because that's what we do here.
Yes.
12-0 percent chance they're in the top four and make the first ever college football top four playoff.
Oh boy. Percent chance at 12-0 they make it into the playoff, 8%.
I'm going to go higher, and I'm going to go in Price is Right fashion, 9%.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know that 12-0 with this schedule gets them there. I'd really have to back up and look at some of the non-conference schedules of some of the top teams that I expect to run the table in their conference.
I think it gets them ranked in the top 10.
Yes.
I think the committee sitting there picking based on the schedule. Had we gone 12-0 with our schedule last year, I say yes. I would give it over 50% chance if asked the same question a year ago. This year, a lot of things would have to happen. There'd be a lot of chaos in the big conferences at the top of their rankings. Some of the teams that maybe we don't think are going to be as good would need to be better on BYU's schedule to make the strength of schedule higher. So I'm with you. I think it's even at 12-0. I think it's low.
Yeah, it's probably a real stretch.
So we'll get back to odds makers in a second. Let's finish the tweet bag because we got tweet bag questions coming out of our tweet bag. All right,
tweet bag.
So
I'm going to get that checked.
Yeah, Curtis Larson has a bevy of questions.
A bevy of... Would you say we have a plethora of questions?
Yes, jefe. I would say we have a plethora. So Curtis Larson says, BYU fight song, should we really be vanquishing people? Hashtag offended. And then Chappie, at It's Chappie, says, and shouting at people is not Christ-like. Better change it ASAP. I have to agree with them, Matt. Vanquishing people does sound a little extreme.
But we're vanquishing the foe.
But even our foes, shouldn't we embrace them? Give them hugs?
What if we changed the word foe to adversary? Would you guys be more comfortable with it?
Oh!
Vanquishing the adversary?
Boom! You just solved the problem. We're done. So, Curtis, you have your answer. All right. And I think a serious question next, but I never know with his tweets. Best BYU secondary ever in 2014, Matt?
No.
Will it be the best?
No.
I say yes.
Tim McTyre
and Omar the Blanket Morgan.
Okay, that is two people. Okay, now granted, two extremely awesome people, but that's two people. I think when it's all said and done, this group is going to have been the best group we've ever had.
As a unit, as a core, maybe.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about individual performers. We're talking.
I think that if you put Tim McTyre and Omar Morgan in that group, they would be head and shoulders.
Oh, what does that even mean?
Above the pack.
Well, yes, of course they would. But the question is, as a whole unit.
Seeing as that I'm struggling to think of it, who backed up Tim McTyre and Omar Morgan?
Well, I don't care about the backups, right? I'm just talking about the starting four and whoever plays the season. So, I mean, yeah, the backups are important. The depth is good. But to become the best group ever, the four best players are probably going to have to play most of the snaps, right? Because even if you have good backups, they're likely a step down, right, in most cases. Yep. I think it's, I don't know. I think the potential is there for them to be quite.
They may be. Awesome. I mean, they're supposed to be very, very good.
Yes.
But I'm not ready to crown them just yet.
Oh, I am. I just did it.
Oh, well, there you go.
There we go. Answered again, Curtis. He has another question, Matt. This is actually the Curtis tweet bag. Will the Oakland A's avoid the Tigers in the playoffs this year? And I say no.
Oh, I think they will.
Why?
Because they won't go to the playoffs.
Did you just say the A's won't go to the playoffs?
Drops mic, walks off stage.
You know they've made the playoffs a couple years in a row, right? You know they play, you know there are extra wild cards now? You know all these things, right?
Listen, I just wanted to say something absurd. But no, I don't. I think that, how about this? Let me try and walk back from the edge here.
All right.
If the A's do make the playoffs again,
I would rather push you over the edge, but go ahead.
I believe they will see the Tigers.
I believe they both make the playoffs, and I think they face each other in the American League Championship Series.
That'd be good.
And who wins? Sorry, Curtis, Detroit does.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding. I actually would be rooting for the A's. Absolutely. The only time I haven't, like, at least kind of said, oh, the A's, I like them, is when Canseco was on the team.
Really?
Oh, now, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I've chanted. I was at a Red Sox game chanting steroids at Jose Canseco in like 1988. And that's why when people said, there were steroids in baseball, we knew he was juicing in 1988. And people like 10 years later, like, wow, McGuire and Sosa, they were on the juice?
Yeah. Remember when McGuire's head like doubled in size?
I just think that
he was like this wiry guy, whatever. But you know who was my favorite?
His freshman year, his rookie year, though. I mean, that's pretty good. When he was
that was a good A's team, though. Dennis Eckersley, Terry Steinbach,
Dave Stewart,
Ricky Henderson.
They were fantastic. Very entertaining. I hated Canseco. Even when he played for the Red Sox for like 15 minutes, I hated him.
When he played for the Rangers and that ball bounced off his head?
That was good. And he blew out his arm pitching.
In a blog. Quick baseball side note. Did you see the news on Michael Pineda tonight? Or did you watch the Red Sox game?
He left early, so I didn't see. I saw that he left after a couple innings. Did he blow out his arm again?
Oh, no. He did not. He did not leave of his own free choice, my friend. The umpire asked him to leave after discovering pine tar on the back of his neck.
Oh!
It was awesome. You got to go. When we're done recording, go Google that. It was awesome.
Enjoy first place, Yankees, because it's not going to last.
It was pretty sweet.
Their infield, quite frankly, is maybe the worst infield I've ever seen on a playoff contending baseball team. I mean, I know everyone's going to be like, Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter was awesome and is a Hall of Famer. He is no longer awesome.
No, he's just not there.
He's just not there anymore. And I mean, in all seriousness, I think Derek Jeter's one of the best shortstops ever. Okay, so, but he's not there anymore. And Mark Teixeira, I don't know what happened to him when he signed the contract with the Yankees, but it has not been Mark Teixeira since then. Anyway, so Curtis, you got us off on baseball tangent, which is fantastic. Now he's asking us to enter the NBA playoffs. Okay, so Matt, Jimmer's minutes in the playoffs this year, over under 5.5, and I believe he means total minutes. Now, two factors here. The Bulls are down 2-0 to the Wizards. Okay, so there may only be two other games for him to get minutes, and he has yet to play a minute. Two DNP coaches' decision in the first two games of their playoff series. Matt, let's odds makers percent chance. He says over and under, but we're doing odds makers today. Percent chance he gets more than 5.5 minutes.
Zero. So I'm zero. Taking the under.
Zero. I would also pick under. He's not seeing any time, and going to the Bulls was, in retrospect, a terrible decision.
At the time, it felt right. It seemed like he was doing the right thing, you know, but this has not worked out for him.
You know what we didn't think about, Matt? Do you know who the coach is in Chicago? Tom Thibodeau, who used to be the coach, assistant defensive guy at the Celtics. He doesn't like guys that don't play defense.
But I thought that was the whole deal, right? Is that Jimmer was going to go and learn defense at the feet of Tom Thibodeau.
Apparently he was going to learn how to sit on a bench and not get splinters.
So mostly he was just going to sit at the feet of Tom Thibodeau.
Yes. And I have much experience sitting on a bench and not getting splinters. It's not as easy as it sounds.
The key is just not to slide back and forth. You just have to stay stationary.
Get in your spot. What are we joking? They sit on like plastic chairs. It's not even a funny joke.
They're like the padded Relief Society chairs.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. Bunch of, you know, pampered babies. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Matt, odds makers, again, and this is from Curtis as well. It's basically Curtis's show. We should have had him on. Will BYU volleyball win the NCAA title? They came oh so short last season. So, Matt, percent chance that the Cougars get it this time?
I believe that the Cougars will vanquish the foe, 100%.
You mean the adversary? 100%.
I guess it depends who they're playing. Yeah, they've got this.
I give them like 65-70. They're a very good team. But there are other good teams.
There's always good teams.
You should definitely go check out Rachel. And I'm going to get her last name. Is it Konishi? Do you know? She's at HOBOCITA on Twitter. She guest wrote a column on LoyalCougars.com about the legacy of senior Taylor Sander, who will go down as one of the best volleyball players in BYU history, which, of course, is a big deal, right? Because we've had a bunch of really good players. He's a three-time All-American. So go check out her little piece at loyalcougars.com on volleyball. Okay, Matt, a couple other odds makers before we move on to the end of our show. All right,
let's do this.
Percent chance that Taysom Hill, after the UVA game, so we're talking after four games into the season, is being mentioned nationally as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Serious.
70%.
That high? Really?
Yeah.
You think so. He puts up some big numbers in those first four games?
I think that he will. I think he'll put up some big numbers, and I think that the athletic department is going to come out swinging on this.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
I'd be really disappointed if they don't.
Yes, I agree. I think they'll be pushing it. They'll be pushing it. And his gaudy running numbers will, I think, help. And if he can hit some of these talented wide receivers, he could put up some massive numbers in those first four games.
And you get big audiences, and that's the other big piece of this, right? Yep. Especially early. A lot of people have to see the game.
Yep.
Or at least see the highlights, and the coverage will be there.
Oh, absolutely. And they do need to see it, and having a game or two on ESPN, which kind of doesn't ensure you get on SportsCenter or a highlight show, but it certainly helps. And two of those first four games are already announced on ESPN. So Matt, one last one. Talked a lot about the NFL draft in 2014, and we've talked about before that there could be as many as three or four Cougars picked this year in the draft. And their last year was one, and there was a drought before that. So, Matt, percent chance that a Cougar is picked in the 2015 NFL draft?
Ooh, That is picked?
Yes, that any Cougar is picked in the 75%. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go like 60. Look at the roster, I'm not sure who it is.
That's my real problem there.
The problem is you just don't know among these seniors, some of whom, you know, may not have had a lot of playing time earlier in their career. It only takes one really good season to get into the draft, right? You don't necessarily have to have 4 years of solid game film to get in. If you put it up for one season and make people believe, then all of a sudden, you know, a fifth or sixth round draft choice. It's not like, not like I'm expecting any of these guys to be a Van Ooy or a Ziggy in excitement for the draft. But on the other hand, you know, it's just some years you don't have anybody, right? If we're talking a couple of years after that, I think we've got some guys that are very likely to be NFL draft candidates. But 2015, I'd give it 60, maybe even a little less. So, all right, Matt.
Way to throw a wet towel on the end of the podcast.
I have not finished the podcast, Matt, because we've got one more thing we need to talk about.
Oh.
It's very important. And it won't matter because you won't have seen it. But I did go see Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I know you did.
Because I, on Instagram and Facebook, have a picture of myself in a Captain America t-shirt at the movie. And yep. I may or may not have been standing next to a huge cardboard thing for X-Men Days of Future Past, smiling like a 5-year-old child.
That pretty much sums it up.
So Matt, you have not seen Captain America.
Unfortunately, I have not, but I plan on it.
Let me tell you, go soon. Go tonight. Go tonight.
Probably not going to happen tonight.
Yes, it is kind of late. I thought it was maybe the best of the, you like that qualifier there? Maybe the best superhero movie ever.
Really?
It's quite good. And
that's pretty high marks.
I think, you know, a lot of people, their benchmark is the Dark Knight, you know, Christopher Nolan Batman films, right? That is not my benchmark, quite frankly. I like those movies a lot. They're a little, you know, too dark and take themselves a little too seriously for my taste. I like my superheroes to be a little bit more fun, you know? But it does a good mix of both the dark and the fun. I liked it quite a bit. It's certainly the best of the Marvel series of movies. Even better than some of the Iron Man movies, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
So, I love the Iron Man movies.
They are quite good. You know what really makes those is that gentleman named Robert Downey Jr.
He does an excellent job.
Oh, he does an excellent job in those movies. And, you know, it's a good movie. So if you like those kind of movies, now some people are going to be like, oh, I should go see it. If you hate superhero movies, you will likely hate this movie, right? so don't be, I don't want to get tweet bagged with, oh, the movie was lame. Well, you know what my response is going to be to that? You're lame.
You're lame.
You know? No, in all seriousness, I mean, it's a superhero movie. I mean, there's quite a bit that is unrealistic, okay? And so if you don't like that type of thing, number one, I wonder about if you have a soul, but more of the point, it's probably not your movie. Listen, but if you like those, it's quite good.
My life is very realistic. Like, I get enough of that, so I'm okay with watching a movie that is not as realistic.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But I am quite excited about Days of Future Past. I can't deny it. I wouldn't deny it.
Nor should you.
Nor should I.
Don't be ashamed of who you are.
So the other day, to talk about we'll end the podcast on this note, Matt. So the other day I was at a work meeting, and I made a Lord of the Rings reference. Somebody had gone on vacation to New Zealand, and I asked something about, you know, they were talking about, you know, people really like to go to New Zealand, and I said, Yes, Frodo was quite fond of it. Because as you might know, that's where the Lord of the Rings movies were filmed.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Thank you. And one of the guys at the table, who was kind of a cool guy, well, I mean, in his own mind at least, said, "That was the dorkiest thing I think I've ever heard." And before I could respond, the entire table shouted him down at this work dinner. The tables have turned, my friends. The dorks are in charge.
The dorks have always been in charge.
Oh, they're definitely in charge now. I mean, I went from reading comic books in, you know, in some dark room, pretending and telling people I didn't, to now when people see the superhero movies, they say, was this close to what the comic books show? Like, with serious looks on their faces. So, you know, the dorks, you know, I prefer geek, quite frankly. He called me a dork. I also explained to him that I'm not a dork. That's misuse of the term. But anywho. Are you excited for X-Men Days of Future Past? Are you an X-Men movie guy?
I am. I like X-Men. I like the X-Men movies.
Did you watch the 90s cartoon?
Yes, I did.
Fantastic. I mean, it's actually quite terrible. I've watched it on Netflix. It's not very good. But
yeah, those cartoons were all pretty bad.
At the time, I thought it was quite awesome. So
it was high drama at the time.
Yes, it was high drama. Well, Matt, this has been a fantastic podcast. I can't say it wasn't, because it was. So we'll be back again. Don't know when. Maybe in a couple weeks when we feel like we have enough to talk about. And we want to, maybe even after X-Men Days of Future Past, so I can give you a review.
Maybe during our next podcast, I'll be wearing a Kyle Van Noy Patriots jersey.
Maybe you will. And maybe on our next podcast, I'll be wearing an X-Men t-shirt.
You're wearing an X-Men t-shirt right now. That's not like...
They're pajamas, technically. Oh, good times, Matt. Good times. And Matt, one more tweet back question on our way out. Curtis Larson says, what is your favorite food item to grill quickly? What is it?
To grow quickly?
Grill.
Oh, food to grill.
Grill.
Burgers. Amigo. Just good old-fashioned burgers. Done.
Bacon-wrapped asparagus. Try it, folks. A little olive oil.
Wow.
Fantastic. Fantastic on the grill. Bacon-wrapped asparagus. Well,
my wife makes excellent hamburger patties.
For all six of you that stayed with us for this entire 40 minutes after the interview with Greg Rebell, congratulations. Thank you for sticking with us till the end. Check us out next time. It's a little light at loyalcougars.com right now, but keep checking back. It will start heating up as we get closer, and certainly with draft coverage, there will be things to check out there as well. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and until next time, we'll see you guys later.
Go Cougars!